from Jackson's Bar and Grill. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Old home, new home. One of our local haunts, hangouts. I told you over the years, with Cofield and Company, we mostly pitch places and partner with places that we frequent, we go to, we trust. So when we say it's cool, you know it's cool. I'm not going to steer you in the wrong direction. Willie's here. It's Cofield. Jackson's Bar and Grill, 6020 West Flamingo. We've been telling you about the great steaks here. We'll tell you about that, those, in just a couple minutes. But cool local gaming bar, food as good or better than the gaming. The gaming specials are awesome. Tons of giveaways, great drink specials, happy hour. Willie, because Willie is – Willie, you've been with us for like 5 years? Something like that?
Something like that.
Right?
I don't know.
So Willie's a relative newbie on the show. This was a place that we started coming to back in around 2004, 2005. They were actually one of the first clients that we worked with, bars that we worked with, because we thought it was really cool, and they liked us back in the old Wise Guys days with Sports Pig and Clay Baker. Mm. So posted a TBT today up on Twitter, a little throwback Thursday with Clay Baker. Looking slightly younger, but, you know, we all were 20 years ago. But, yeah, we love this place. Flamingo and Jones, come on in, get dinner. We got some prizes as well. We got concert tickets to see Joan Jett this weekend. We've got tickets to see Steel Panther. I love those guys. That's in August. So you come in, easy sign up, and you can be a winner. And we are ready to go here on a Thursday.
This is definitely one of those places that it reminds me of. You were here in 2004. It reminds me of a place that I would have been frequenting in the 80s. It's got that
old. It's kind of right up the road from where you used to hang out, right? Weren't you a regular right at 15 and Flamingo?
I used to live one block up the road. When we moved back to Vegas after moving away, we came back and Spring Valley all of a sudden was built where the pink house is to get the tickets fixed.
Oh, yeah.
That was the premier outside Spanish Trail. If you lived in the Southwest, that was the, you know, Spanish Trail or Spring Valley was it. You used to drive down Flamingo all the time right to Arville to Tramps. And when the Gold Coast first opened, there was no Rio. So, yeah, this is old stomping grounds for me. And it's definitely got the vibe. And when you look at the menu, and I already ate pre-show. This is a good spot. This is an old school spot. So if you're old school Vegas, you want to feel the old school vibes of the old school bars, bar and grills with good kitchens, this is the spot to be.
Yesterday was National Sushi Day. Today is National Martini Day. You're not getting sushi here at Jackson's Bar and Grill, but you can't get a martini. What do you favor more, sushi or martini?
Nowadays, probably the sushi. Back in the day, the martini. There's no doubt about it. That's how some nights got started. Or dinners, I should say. Start off with a martini. Then venture into a cocktail, a bottle of wine, nice steak. Forget about it.
Not a martini drinker.
You're so not?
Sorry to let you down on the holiday.
Well, you don't... It doesn't really matter to me whether you.
All right,
or not.
You're like, oh, you ruined the day.
Yeah,
again, Cofield, yeah. Rain cloud.
I don't think. No, I probably have not had of all. If I were to add up all the martinis I've had in my life, probably does not equal as many as Oscar Goodman has had probably in 2025 already.
Yes, he's pretty intense.
But he's a gin martini drinker. It was always Stoli. Stoli Martini, extra olives.
So we got game 6 of the NBA Finals. You can come watch it here at Jackson's Bar and Grill, Flamingo and Jones, and we'll see. I don't know about you. I know the early part of the week crew, at least Griffin and I, we believe the Pacers can push this to a game 7, get that one game bump of, Halliburton, we think is going to play. He's questionable, but if he doesn't play or he's injured, get that one game bump of energy. Survival at home and get it to a game 7. I don't know what's going to happen in game 7. I think that could be an adrenaline dump. And if Halliburton's not 100%, which it sounds like the rest of the series is not going to be.
Right.
So what do you think? Can they push this to a game 7?
I mean,
that sounds bad.
Well, the thing is that they've been competitive. They've gotten this far, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's one of those situations where your star goes down, and what it does is a couple of things. It brings a team together, number one. Number two, it opens the door for somebody who you don't expect, and that includes the Oklahoma City Thunder, to step up their game and have a big game. Who's it going to be? Who? Maybe it's two people. Maybe one person steps up their game with an unbelievable stat sheet with assist, and someone contributes with points, and then the regular supporting cast that Halliburton has. So his points don't have – his production doesn't have to go to one person. It could be picked up by two, and now you have a nice rotation of players. And the other thing that may do is Carlisle's going to have to go into his bench. Minutes are spread out a little bit more, fresher legs. You know what I mean? So it's a completely different complexion. And in Indianapolis, a town that's on fire right now with basketball, the Caitlin Clark effect, the Indiana Pacers looking for their first title, and you know, I mean, it's a very exciting time in Indianapolis. So, I mean, the energy in the building obviously is going to fuel them. Now, the last report I heard from Shams was that he is doing everything humanly possible. They've done every type of therapy, stim therapy, massage therapy, hydroshock, you know, whatever they can do to get him healthy. And per Shams, it's about a 95% chance he's playing. Not at 100% level, but he's playing.
Who was it the other day who brought up? It got a little dark because they were talking about Halliburton. Oh, it actually wasn't on Cofield and Company. It was during Sporting Tribune Live. Grant Mona, who is one of our regulars on Friday, brought up Kevin Durant playing through a calf in the finals years back and then whomping his Achilles. I was like, bro, relax here. Have you seen a push out there of people who are like, don't play hurt?
I can't remember who the guest was on a talk show today while I was driving around and was saying if it can affect next season, if it can affect him,
right?
You're so close to July where all of a sudden in 2 months they're talking about getting back into the gym and training camp opens, that if it's something that could the calf that's yeah. connected, you know, I mean, that goes a little further. So not to risk the entire season for next season to sit him. But the thing is, you're going to have to convince this guy.
Yeah. By the way, do you think a lot of the, you know, we're big names, sports personalities, not really. But you think some of the bigger name personalities get a little too much bravado going at different people? I thought it was interesting the other day that Stephen A. Smith was going after Ja Morant and in relation the whole city of Memphis. Like, bruh. You see what's happening in this country? The willingness of people to walk up to someone and punch them right in the face. And I'm just watching a video from earlier today with Michael Wilbon, and he said, anybody who's critical of Halliburton playing is a fool, and I don't want to see them in front of me because I might take a swing at them. Like, bro, are you looking to get punched in the face? Like, there's a lot of randos out there now who are like, hey, I get a chance to go at a celebrity.
That doesn't surprise me.
Let's go.
You want to know why? We'd have to look back at the date, but this is going back 20-plus years. Mark Wallington could probably remember quicker than I can. Northwestern played at UNLV. Michael Wilbon went to Northwestern. He was sitting a few rows in front of me, and I was there as a fan, and he was there. He got up and confronted somebody because they were getting rowdy, and I think that, if I remember correctly, it wasn't food. I think it was beer or a water or something, and it splashed him. Well, and he got up, and he was getting hostile.
Well, that's good 20 years ago. I don't think it's too smart now. You know, we watched Fight Night the other night in the WNBA with Caitlin Clark and Marina Mabry and
Sophie
and the Sun, and Sun stink too. Are they just a thugville? We'll get into that. We'll break down what's going on with the Aces. They got a couple games coming up, as we'll talk to Krista Blunk in less than 5 minutes.
It's Cofield and Company, live from Jackson's Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on. Field and Company, Jackson's Bar and Grill. Come on down here. Best steak deal in town. $20 for the garlic marinated bistro filet. $20 for the 1 pound ribeye. Willie's here. It's Cofield. More WNBA talk. Our Aces trying to scuffle to get back going in the right direction. Beat up right now. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But Certainly, we're going to get to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. You always have to. Krista Blunk calls WNBA games, calls games for the Aces. Of course, we see her around the Mountain West Conference. She joins Steve and Willie here on this Thursday. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. I got through security, so that's always a plus.
There you go.
Hanging out in the airport. We appreciate it.
I love that. It's one of my favorite hobbies.
Well, get used to it, right? The WNBA got a lot of attention this week for the fisticuffs, the aggression. I want to get to that in about 5 minutes, but I do want to point out what the WNBA does in terms of being linked to college basketball on the women's side, to girls' basketball. And Willie had retweeted a post from over at UNLV with the Lady Rebels today. The Seattle Storm were hanging out with Lindy LaRock. And, you know, I got to remind people, like, all these leagues, but especially the WNBA, do a really good job grassroots in their own city and many times on the road.
Yeah, you know, they do. And I think, look, I've been working in this league since day one, and that was always one of the things that from the start that I was so impressed with the league was just, you know, these players, they, you know, they're elevated now at a little bit of a different level, but they are still very connected with the fans and the communities. And it always meant something from day one, and it still means something right now in the 29 seasons, you know, and I love that about it, and I know it's important to them, and I think it really is important for the communities to have their support as well and have them be part of, you know, the things that they're doing, whether it's the universities, whether it's grade schools, high schools, whatever it might be. I think it's really important for both sides.
Yeah, it was good to see. Lindy LaRock and Nneka Egumike, of course, four-year teammates at Stanford, went to the Final Four all 4 years under Tara Vanderveer. So she went over and visited with the Lady Rebels, and I don't know if they realized that they were visited not only by someone who probably down the road, Krista, is going into the Hall of Fame, but the Madam President of the WNBPA. So a very important part. I mean, they're all important, all 156 players, but Nneka is the chief of all the players.
She is, and you know, she's the most level-headed, both on and off the floor, right? She's that player that on the floor, you just sit there and think she's so calm and cool. She's a leader for them, but she's also a leader for the entire league, as you said. And so I couldn't be more impressed with her and watching her throughout her college career, playing with Lindy, and now what she does on and off the floor for this league, it's just so incredibly impressive.
And right now, what she's doing with the Seattle Storm, Noelle Quinn has her Storm playing really well, defensive-minded, and of course, with Skylar Diggins and her well-balanced game at both ends of the floor. And this is a team that, of course, has former ace Alicia Clark, and they're making some noise at the top half of the standings. What are the Aces in store for tomorrow night at home?
It's not going to be easy. You know, the Aces split with them in Seattle, already facing them twice. They got spanked in the first one by 20. They were able to get a closer win in the second outing. But then they had Asia Wilson at the time also. But this is a team that can get out and flat run when they get the opportunity. They are veteran-led. They had a few tweaks and changes to their lineup, but for the most part, they have a veteran core that's back. And then they pick up someone like AC, and they pick up an Erica Wheeler, who's actually moved her way into the starting lineup now, AC coming up the bench. And AC is a big piece of what the Aces lost. And now new pieces a little bit younger for the Aces, trying to figure out their roles. But they did pick up a Jewel Lloyd, one of the pieces that the Storm lost, obviously Jewel Lloyd. And I think without Asia, Jewel has really had to step up and really start to look for her game more. And I hope that these players, once they get Asia back, can continue to do just that.
You know, you mentioned Erica Wheeler, and I want to go back to the All-Star game several years ago. I think it was 19 when Liz Cambage was still in town, remember, and she was part of the festivities. But Erica Wheeler was named MVP. Remember how emotional she got? Just last week, she got emotional over a game. This is somebody who, you know, you mentioned her. I'm glad you brought her up because the performance that she puts on here, when she was with the Fever even, there's something about Las Vegas, and I asked Rekia Jackson this when the Sparks were in town after her big game. Has Mandalay Bay, in your experience, has Michelob Ultra, has it become sort of like the Madison Square Garden of the NBA where people go there and they just want to put forth, it just brings the best out of them? Number one, because it's the Mecca. Number two, they're playing the historic and iconic New York Knicks. Rekia said, yeah, you come to Vegas, you want to knock off the Aces, but what is it about Michelob Ultra that you've seen in all the games you've called? Why do people want to come here and just perform?
Well, I think pros and cons to having an amazing fan base. There are some incredible fans in Las Vegas. They bring it every single game, and there's nothing that a competitor wants to do more than to quiet down some rabid fans, right? So I think that that's part of it. They love performing in front of the fans of Las Vegas. And there's also an owner in Mark Davis that sits right there courtside. And so many players, I know we've talked about this before, but they will come over during warm-ups, and they will give him a hug. They will wave to him. They know who he is. I think they really do appreciate what he's done for this game. And so they're also playing against Olympians and some of the best that have ever played, and some players that have won a couple of championships too. So if that doesn't motivate you to play hard and play your best, I don't know what does. There's a huge target on the Aces as far as just, you know, their players in this team. And when they come to the home court, everybody that's a competitor wants to be a spoiler.
Crystal Blanca is with us, is Willie and Cofield hanging out here at Jackson's Bar and Grill. You mentioned the target. I don't know if there's a target on the back of Caitlin Clark. I think some people who comment on WNBA think there is. First off, I want you to talk about what happened in the game. Stephanie White said, hey, it started early. You could see something was going to happen. Willie and I pointed out yesterday it actually started early in the game with Caitlin Clark with a strong push. So she's not always the victim, but just on the way the game unfolded and just how kind of nasty it got at the end.
Yeah, I'm probably going to hear from a lot of people on this, but I have a lot of different views about this. And I am from Indiana originally. I have a lot of friends and family who are season ticket holders. I have been reading some of their social media posts, and they have been completely defending her and the Fever. But I have to say, I don't think that J.C. Sheldon was in the wrong. I think she was playing pretty aggressive defensively. I think it was a defensive play. She popped her in the face. I didn't think she deserved the shove after. And I think that Caitlin with the palms up, I've seen it once, but I've seen it 10 times, right? Whining to the crowd. And she's a competitor, too. She's fiery. She's not an angel, though, on the court. And I think that I was disappointed because she will be the first one to say when that happens on the other side that, hey, we're just playing ball. Why make a big deal of it? Well, I would say that J.C. Sheldon could have said the same thing. And I know that they faced one another through college play a lot. But I really, I've never known J.C. Sheldon to be really a dirty player. And so I was just kind of disappointed to kind of see how she reacted to it.
Stephanie White afterwards was pretty adamant about the officials. I went back and researched last year. Her Connecticut Sun, which, as you know, was one of the most physical teams in the league. You go back to even before she was there under Kurt Miller when the Aces played them. That's when Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner were there and Jonquel Jones. That's always been known as a physical team. I looked at the 40-game regular season games. Top 20%, meaning the top eight games, two of those eight games, their most committed personal fouls were against Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. I don't remember Stephanie White coming out and saying, hey, this has gotten physical, this has gotten out of hand, when her team was one of the most physical. And I love Stephanie. I think she's one of the best communicative when she's given me time, she's given me one-on-ones, but I just have to wonder in this position how much they're all out to sort of protect Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I'm a huge Stephanie White fan. I think she's one of the most competitive former players and now still a competitive as a coach that there is. And I love that about her. I love the fact that she's going to, have her team's back. But I also think that you're right, that I didn't love the way that she responded either, quite honestly. But again, it's her team. She has to, if her coach doesn't have your back, who's going to have it, right? So I think it was one of those things where that's kind of what she had to do. And I will not be on the game against Indiana at T-Mobile this weekend. It'll be an ESPN game. But, Willie, I sure hope you get a chance to get in there and ask Stephanie that, or give her those numbers. I think she'll appreciate those numbers.
Well, you've been in plenty of pregame press conferences, you, me, CP, and Callie Finn, and I have no problem in asking questions.
I know that. I appreciate that about you.
I threw that one at Lynn Roberts about KP and the fouls after her diatribe and everything. So I will I have it on the docket if she makes it, because she is not with the team and she's not available today with the Valkyries. And apparently, from a story, the most recent news is they don't know when she's going to be back. So she may miss this game in Vegas, which would be wild. We're speaking with Krista Blunk, play-by-play voice of the Las Vegas Aces, and also, of course, during the college in the West Coast, Mountain West. She does some Pac-12 work. joining us with Cofield and Company. I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the league, in particular the Sun, in how far they've dropped off, right? I mean, and they're getting this bad rap because of what took place the other day, but I think the components that they brought in with the first-year coach, losing Stephanie White, and losing Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner, and they thought they were going to have Natasha Cloud. Now, because of the other night, they're strapped with this rep.
And, you know, I think you couldn't see a more completely different team. They are absolutely, other than Marina Mabry, basically the only player back from a season ago. And the entire system, as you said, new coach and coaching staff, very, very different group. Youth, and then they pick up Tina Charles, so they have that veteran, but a lot of weight on her shoulders, as well as Marina Mabry's. I'm not surprised at all. I thought they might get it put together a little bit better at this point, but it's still a little early in the season for a team that is absolutely a brand new team.
Yeah. Chicago Sky, Angel Reese. Did you see that she has trademarked, she's flipped the script on her haters who call them me-bounds instead of rebounds, and she's filed with the United States Patent Office a trademark for me-bounds. I thought it was brilliant. Did you see this?
You know what? I did see that, and I love it. You know what? I really appreciate how she handles most of the media, most of all the adversity that comes at her. There's a lot of it that has throughout, and I don't think a lot of it is deserved. But I give her so much credit. For the most part, I would say she handles it all very well and does it the right way. And I really appreciate her. I love her game. She makes me laugh. She makes me cry when she gets those knee bounds. But it's, you know, they're, hey, it's effective and it works. So you got to figure out how to get low and box out, right?
By the way, Tyler Marsh and the coaching staff have made some good adjustments the last three games by getting her away from the basket a little more so that she's not swarmed underneath the basket. I think she's made some adjustments when she does drive, and she's going to draw a double and triple team. She's pitching it to corners. She's pitching it back out. So there's been some progress here, you know, both on the coaching staff side and the player side.
Yeah, Tyler Marsh was getting some flack, especially early on. Yeah, there were a lot of question marks because this is really a team that I felt like was underachieving. I think Cardoso, you have expectations that now that they have a season under belt. And so I think they have a lot of young talent, and I think there were expectations to see them playing as well as maybe an Indiana Fever team. But they didn't have quite the same moves and additions that Indiana did. So I like the what they've done. And I also think she's a player that said, hey, I want to start working on my perimeter shooting. She'd love to step out even further if she can. So if she's been working on it and it's getting there, why not get her away from the hoop a little bit more? I think it's a great idea.
Krista, we appreciate the time. While you're traveling, safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
See you tomorrow.
Voice of the Aces, Krista Blunk. A lot more WNBA coming up, especially on the Caitlin Clark reaction. We got good, strong reaction. We talked, you know, it's funny. We talked about a lot of things yesterday with that fight. Not all Caitlin Clark, but we posted a video on Caitlin Clark, and of course, people took it like we hate Caitlin Clark. It's one or the other. You can't give an opinion, and trust me, when we talk about this stuff, we are very much down the middle because we will blast her, we will pump her up. Same with Angel Reese. Like, there is no agenda here. I understand that's kind of what the WNBA has become: is pick a side, and then freaking farm for reaction. That's what we're doing.
That's not the case. You brought up the point to Krista about the initial shove before the eye poke earlier in the game. Did you happen to notice before she shoved JC as they were walking? I don't know what JC said to her, but she looked at her and she said, I'll do whatever the F I want.
I know.
I can do whatever the F I want.
And then I saw a great mashup of old highlights of her. You sent that, yeah. Iowa State or Iowa and Ohio State, and like they've been going at it forever. So, you know, eye pokes happen. I mean, I think the most ridiculous, as we said yesterday, the most ridiculous thing in that fight the other night was Marina Mabry coming in and body checking her while she's trying to recover and then walking to the bench and saying, I don't give an F, and then making a slapping move.
Yeah.
Be careful what you're asking for.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Jackson's Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're out to Chicago in just a couple minutes, home of the Sky and Angel Reese. A little bit more about the fight with Xavier Pope. Also about the breaking news today that the Dodgers were asked permission by ICE to comb the parking lot at their games. And the Dodgers said no, which I might be the only sports talk host in the country who's been trying to tell you that sporting events are in a weird position right now. So that's coming up. I'm going to give you the keyword of the day here inside of 5 minutes for our Paul Padilla 8 trips in 8 weeks qualification. Venice, Italy is the trip this week. So that's coming up. All you got to do is text in 702-364-1100. Speaking of areas in strife, and we have lots of strife around the U.S., Griffin, I want you to pop on here. I don't know if you've thought about this at all, but I saw a very interesting comment about UFC's event coming up in Azerbaijan. Now, we had talked about this, Willie, with R.J. Clifford on Monday, and R.J.'s going out there. Now, if you look at a map, I think it's the Caspian Sea. Baku, it's a long ways away from, because Caspian Sea is gigantic, but it is actually pretty close to Tehran. And Griffith, did you see the report that one of the fighters said, or at least his manager said, hey, a little bit of trouble getting to Baku for UFC this weekend. Jamal Hill's manager said a 2.5-hour trip, you know, locally was stretched to 5 because they had to avoid Iranian airspace due to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, I saw Jamal Hill. I saw the post. It's crazy. I love the dedication. You know, the show goes on no matter what. But come on, you are going into dangerous airspace now? We are going that deep into making sure that this isn't even a major card. This isn't UFC 317. This is a fight night card. I don't know. A fight night cards, they're fun, they can be entertaining, but they can also let you down. So it's kind of a matter of, like, why even risk going to a place that's a little more dangerous? Let's just reschedule it. Throw it in. If the Apex is closed, let's throw it somewhere in Vegas. There's so many spots. We don't need to be risking all this for a fight night.
To give you a geographical reference, Vegas to Tucson, around the same distance as Baku to Tehran. I'm not a missile expert, so I don't know if there's going to be some missile gone awry being shot at Iran. But interesting place to go. There's also claims that the Azerbaijani, is that maybe that's what it is, government ain't exactly the best when it comes to human rights. But I understand UFC is trying to, you know, maximize the exposure for its sport. A lot of these areas now, they're areas they mine for fighters. So hopefully nothing happens. I don't think it will, but it was interesting to see, like, whoa, okay, we actually had to reroute the flight because of the freaking conflict between Israel and Iran.
Isn't Azerbaijan where, I believe, former ace Tiffany Hayes played for their 3-on-3 team last year
right?
In the Olympics? Yeah.
Can we get her on? Does she want to speak about Azerbaijan?
She's with the Valkyries now. So
it's a feature for you, aren't you? Doing? I think you were looking to do some different features. You do a lot of freelance.
I'm doing something on Phoenix Mercury star Alyssa Thomas, who returned to Connecticut last night. And so I talked to her and their coach, who's the leading candidate for Coach of the Year at the quarter poll, by many people's estimation. I think Natalie Nicasi should be discussed. But anyway, I'm working on something with Alyssa Thomas.
And back to USC for a second. I do want to see that fight. So hopefully everything is good. They're all safe. That should be a pretty interesting card, but a little bit of a risk. All right, keyword of the day for today, our 8 trips in 8 weeks qualifier. Trip to Venice is being given away this week by ESPN Las Vegas and Lotus Broadcasting. Today's keyword is gondola. I'm not spelling it. Sometimes these words are going to be a little more complicated. Gondola. Pronouncing it correctly, right? Gondola.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like you see in the Venetian.
I think it's gondola. But
no, don't. I mean, that might.
Then what'd you ask me for?
Might make it a little easier. Gondola is the keyword. Text it in right now, and you could be, you're eligible for the trip to Venice, eight trips in 8 weeks. We'll be doing this for 7 more weeks. We got unbelievable trips on the way, brought to you by Paul Padilla and Lotus Broadcasting.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Jackson's Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
Rolling on Jackson's Bar and Grill. Get on in here. Happy hour. Got $5 on Estrella Jalisco. I have not had the club tails. I was actually at a convenience store the other day. I was like, there's a lot of flavors for those. That could be interesting. Peach Breeze club tail. Let's do it. $5. Ask the servers, bartenders here for all the happy hour specials. Really cool. And you can wash down the $20 famous steaks. They're famous all over the country. $20 for the one-pound ribeye. $20 on the garlic marinated bistro filet.
How is it that when we go on location with the best kitchens, and I'm always looking at the menu, I'm looking at the I'm taking pictures by the 7th, 8th, 12th, 15th week, I've had everything on the menu, and all you do is look at the liquor.
Well, more than a few months ago, I was told, lose weight, fatty. So trying to keep it down a little bit.
Who told you that?
You know. The doctors. So I've been trying to eat a little healthier this summer. But that doesn't mean – I realized last night, because I actually haven't been going out a ton to bars.
You've lost some weight.
Because I've lost a little bit. But bars lead to late-night eating. So you try not to get yourself in that position. But coming here for happy hour, you can still control yourself. You know, I told you I was trying to manage kind of eating in a certain zone during the day. I don't know if it's truly intermittent eating, but be responsible and not eat. I told you guys, my biggest thing of being a chubbo over the years, my natural clock, man, I love to eat freaking at 9 and 10 o'clock at night. I love late night eats. Like, when you get older, you know, you can't do that.
And I told you what to do that late. When you get the munchies late, it's because most people don't just get the munchies late at night. They get a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Is you get the...
We have no sweets in the house.
You get the Greek yogurt in the bowl with a scoop of protein powder, whip it together, some trail mix in.
I'll try the powder. I did some yogurt on the way over with some
protein powder. Let's not get a narrative.
Protein powder.
No, you said I'll try the powder. They get the narrative out there. All of a sudden, Steve's skiing again.
Oh. Yeah. Again. Yes, I will throw. That's what you were saying. We sprinkle a little cocaine in my yogurt late night. Yeah, I'll be like, yes. Then I won't be able to sleep.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, don't joke about that stuff.
PTSD. Flashback.
All right, so we're getting ready for the football season, and financial decisions need to be made.
Okay.
Well, they do, right? Mm-hmm. How much football do you want to watch? How much football do you need to watch? Because it wasn't a decision. Like, that's not the decision. Like, I want to watch all football. But there's also, for average folks like us, and I don't care that it's a write-off with the biz we're in, we have to make a financial commitment to watch football. Like, right now, I'm out on YouTube TV. If I want to get the NFL package, and guess what? I got to get YouTube TV again, and I got to pay for the NFL package. And I haven't looked this year, but I'm guessing what's the best special, $350 for the season? It's too much, you know? For a lot of people, it gets to be too much. And I know you found a story with the Times and the Athletic about how things have changed, you know, the last 10, 15 years. It's gotten crazy. And I experience it almost every night where I go to check out a game, and I'm like, okay, where the hell is the game? I mean, I'll give you one of the teams I want to watch often, especially with our show. And the time is like, let me catch the second half of the Dodgers game. But it is like jumping through hoops to find the friggin' Dodgers game. And I know there's people driving around right now who are like, get the box, get your, you know, steal it. I'm like, not doing that. I also think streams suck.
You know what's funny is in the break, you said, hey, I want to hit on this, and I hope you read it. And then it just dawned on me, and I clicked the link. You want to hear the irony of the story that I found? So I have a subscription to The Athletic, which is the New York Times now, right? And you log
by the way, it's also behind a paywall.
Right. So I said, I have a subscription. But when you go to that story, and I'm logged into my account, a pop-up at the slides up from the bottom. It says, you're currently subscribed to The Athletic only. Upgrade to get unlimited access to The Times. So I got it on my Athletic feed, clicked it. It loads, but then guess what? I get a slide up, and it said, nope, you got to upgrade. So I didn't, by the way, because you said, I hope you read it. No, I didn't get to read this story because it's behind a further paywall.
I like the full disclosure honesty.
Even though
highly prepped today for the show, both
even,
of us.
Because I sent this yesterday. So when I found it on the rundown and clicked it, it dawned on me. Yeah, they're.
So what do you do to watch sports? Have you reached a limit where you're like I don't know how you watch all the WNBA games, because that was another one the other night.
WNBA is not that expensive.
Well, the other night I wanted to watch the end of the Aces game, and I'm like, well, it's on Local 34, so That's not easily accessible to me. I need it to be on a national platform.
I have Cox.
It's that stuff too.
Yeah.
It's like only certain places have the game. Like, because you can't buy every freaking service. I'm not going to.
I will say that the WNBA League Pass has gone up since 21, but not crazy. And you think that it would have. I believe it once was $24.99, and I think it's $35 now, which isn't bad considering the hype behind it right now. So at any given night, I could have three, four things. I could have a couple laptops on, both TVs going. The other night, there were six games, not all at the same time, but there were four at one time. The fight night, there were 12 of the 13 teams were in action. So WNBA, I'm bought in. Now, when I moved, I pull this off every couple of years. I walk into Cox with a couple of my boxes, not all of them, and I'm like, look, kind of in a transition. I'm going to bring the rest of the equipment in. You guys have gone past the promo, you know, the 2-year promo, so on and so. And they'll go, oh, let me pull up your account. And then they say, oh, no, we're going to put you on a different promo. And then the price always drops 50 to 60. So this last time when I made the move and told them, look, I think I'm just going to switch, they said, no. And not only did the monthly fee go down, but now I have every single channel. So they gave me everything. So as far as your question, streaming, I use Prime, Amazon Prime, for subscriptions and stuff that I – monthly things that get sent to the house. So I automatically get Prime Video. So I get those games, which, by the way, WNBA is now tied in with Prime. League Pass. I'm not paying for YouTube TV, I can tell you that. So if that means I miss some NFL games, hopefully I'm not on the show the next day because I won't have watched it. I will not have
watched
it.
Which is crazy.
No.
That's why it's part of the reason why we can talk about the venue as we get more news on it. For Canelo and Crawford, it's why I'm so excited about the setup initially, which it's on Netflix. Now, I don't know if they're going to stick us with another fee.
They will.
To watch. I think it's going to be.
No way.
I'll make a bet on that.
You think that all you got to do is pay for Netflix,
just have Netflix,
and you're going to get Canelo and Crawford? You don't think, well, I got Netflix and now you go in and you buy it? Like, I have ESPN Plus, but you have to then you have to buy the pay-per-view. There's no shot. No shot. We're talking about Dana White.
Why are you throwing Dana White in the crosshairs?
Because Dana White's not just going to say, okay, just subscribe to Netflix, and Netflix is the only...
promoter, not the money backer. Turki Alsheik is the money backer. And I'm not trying to get you on this, because we didn't play the whole bite the other day, and you weren't on either.
Oh, okay.
But he went on the Jim Rome show to announce that it was going to be at Allegiant.
Right.
They are going to try to get $65,000 for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He started discussing pay-per-view, at least on the clip I watched. Jim Rome asked about pay-per-view and if there's ever a day when fights can go back to being relatively free. And Dana White said, listen, my dream is that we can do this over the air so as many people around the world can watch it. Now, to your point, maybe he's just saying that. But yes, I don't think you should take the bet.
I would love that because I remember back in the day, in our childhood days, Steve, when heavyweight championship fights, or then the Leonard Hagler Hearns Duran era ventured in, and ABC Wide World of Sports, we were getting. That's mm-hmm. when it was on. Remember that?
Yep.
Agony of defeat. Dun, 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 dun. We were getting those fights on Muhammad Ali.
And here's the thing with pay-per-view. For the biggest fights, it still works, but the rest of it, it really doesn't work. I mean, they're making money off it, but I actually think they're maybe making less money for the sport overall by hiding it behind a paywall. They're also getting robbed blind by streamers because so many people are just stealing it. So the goal should be to get it off of pay-per-view and find platforms like Netflix that see the benefit of just having tens of millions of people. And I don't know what the final numbers were with Tyson and Paul. By the way, the other complication with Tyson and Paul was the stream sucked. They got to make sure that's good to go. But if you can find more platforms like that, Willie, that, hey, you know, we're going to make money off of this. We're going to get new subscribers. We're good with this. And it doesn't have to be $50 or $85. That's going to be good for both of the big combat sports, MMA and boxing. So this could be, I'm not saying it's going to change the whole industry, but a big turnout on Netflix and the stream working,
yeah,
and then a big crowd of 65,000, I'm never going to sit here and go, like, boxing is back, it's saved. Like, nothing, like, saving a sport and building a sport takes 10 years, 15, 20 years of success.
Well, to rebuild that sport, especially with how far it declined, you know what I mean? I mean, with the alphabet organizations and so much controversy and so many people being turned off by boxing, it's going to take a lot to sort of reinvigorate and get those fans back, especially with what he's done with UFC. Hey, how many have he – I mean, you've been following UFC longer than I have. How many did he transition and then, you know, people just gravitate naturally to UFC and don't even watch boxing? So it's not just building boxing over the next 10, 15 years. It's rebuilding a brand that was broken by a lot of shady promoters and, of course, and the, like I said, the alphabet organizations.
Well, UFC is overtaking it, and now the goal would be, let's get UFC on more and more free TV and not have pay-per-views. I don't know when they can do that. Right now they're in the middle of negotiations with different carriers. It looks like they're going to be going bye-bye from ESPN, and it's Netflix or Amazon. So I don't know what the design is by Amazon. I think this is a good first step, right? If Netflix is really happy with the turnout and feels there's a big benefit to having a, you know, free boxing match on, you know, the best fight you can put together right now, maybe that'll be the deal with the UFC. I don't know. There's a lot going on because you realize there's this relationship that is being forged with Saudi money and boxing / UFC and Dana White. And by the way, who is one of Dana White's best buddies? Donald Trump.
Mm.
So there's a whole thing that could be developing there.
We'll find out soon. Well, we may find out next week. Could be a question to ask him because I'll be at the press conference.
Do it, please.
During the tour.
Yep.
Have you inched closer, based off your last interview, have you inched closer to what we're doing with the pay-per-view?